Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us. Thine we are. Reading from God's Holy Word from Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, the beginning of the letter to the church at Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's come before this Lord Jesus and his Father, as well as the Spirit that is there with him, in prayer, giving thanks for this letter, giving thanks for all of God's Word, giving thanks for the promises and the warnings, giving thanks that we have a Word by which we can have faith. As we read, he is true, that can give us faith in him who is true. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for all that has been given, for thy giving him into this world to live, to die, and then raising him up again, and taking him to thyself in heaven, giving him that place on thy right hand, where thou dost say, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. We give thanks that all the enemies will be subdued. We give thanks when thou dost make us from being enemies into thy children, into thy footstool. We pray, Father, that those who have been called in that way may be revived, may grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, and those who are still in darkness, dead in sin, may be quickened, may be made alive, and may be made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, even as the Ephesians were those 1900 and some years ago, that may again take place with many in the present time, in each nation, both Jew and Gentile. We pray, Father, for both thy word to be made known and thy power to accompany it, that even as was in Thessalonica, where Paul could say, we came not in word only, but in power with thy Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, in the name of Christ and because of Christ, that thou wilt give us thy Spirit again in the church and in the world. Thou wilt not leave us to ourselves. Thou wilt not give us over to a reprobate mind, as seemingly is taking place in our nation and so many places in the world, the terrible things that are happening and waxing worse and worse, still in pride, but in terrible rebellion against thee in so many ways, in the home and in the church having become a soul that hath lost its savor in this nation and being trodden underfoot. And we pray, Father, that we might rightly realize it is our own fault in the church when we have not spoken, when we have not prayed, when we have not denied ourselves and taken up our cross and followed thee. Forgive us, we pray, and revive us and strengthen us, even as this church here was described as having a little strength, and yet we know that that strength was promised to do things and overcome, and we pray that that may yet take place, and we may not be as some of the other churches were warned, that the candlestick would be removed, or the next church to which thou dost write and say, I will spew you out of my mouth. We know, Lord Jesus, that in thy way thou hast a right to do all of it, and we deserve whatever thou dost do to us in judgment, but we plead thy mercy, we plead thy grace. And Father, because of Christ, what he paid for on the cross may be applied to us today. We pray for thy blessing on the spiritual needs, first of all, that thy kingdom might come, that thy will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we also pray for the temporal needs, for those in suffering in so many different ways, the hungry, the homeless, the war-torn lands, and the injuries, the sorrow, and the fear that is there. We pray for the broken homes, and we pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray for those in suffering in other ways, the lonesome, the elderly. We pray for the children in the troubled homes, that thou wilt teach them and not leave them in frustration and despair. We pray, Father, for the schools, that they might again teach the truth and not the lie, and the terribleness of the lie that is being taught in so many different ways against thee, against thy word, even against the ways of our nation, our forefathers, that we are turning our backs on those blessings that thou dost give us through them and to them, and that we do not want to continue in them. We pray that we might see our wickedness, our foolishness, and how we are coming to call evil good and good evil, how we are coming to justify the murder of the unborn and the terribleness of it and the brokenness of our homes. We pray, Father, thou would bring us to repentance toward thyself and faith toward Christ, all in his name and for thy glory. Amen. As we look again at this letter from him who stated, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and he that shutteth and no man openeth." This is the one we must believe in. Unless we believe in him, the rest doesn't really mean anything. We want to know what is really meant and what is to be done about it. When he states, "Father, I know thy works, and behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." They knew his word. They knew his name. Do we know his name? Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he who introduces himself here hath the key of David. He was promised to come in the lineage of David, promised to sit on the throne of David. Last week we ended our message reading from Isaiah 22, where there's a prophecy of Christ. In the 22nd verse of that chapter, "The key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, and he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open." And that's what he's saying here. He that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. He is Lord. Lord of all. Lord in nature. Lord in grace. When we think of that, many places in Scripture we can see his words concerning that. He said when he was here on earth, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He will build his church. He is not ever defeated. He may allow man to go his own way. He has allowed Israel to go their way. He's left them in their blindness and made his word known to the Gentile world, but also with a promise that he will again pour out the spirit of grace and supplication upon them. We don't know when, we don't know how all of this will transpire, but it will be done. And it will accomplish what he said. When he said, "I will pour out the spirit of grace and supplication," he said, "they will mourn after me whom they have pierced." They will be made to believe that he was the one that should not have been pierced. And they were wrong in doing it. And they will know that they have pierced him, killed him. They will know that the Messiah has come and he's been refused, that will come. "I will pour upon the house of David, and the house of Israel, that spirit of grace and supplication." Both Judah and Israel, the two tribes, the 10 tribes, all of them together, the promise is there. Zechariah wrote it down, what Christ said. Many other things, and part of that is in these words here, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Satan does much. Read Holy War that John Bunyan wrote, and we can see the struggle that is there, the awfulness and the power of Satan, but the overcoming of Christ. Every person wants to keep that door and that gate closed, and Satan does. That's why Paul says to Timothy, "In meekness instruct those that oppose themselves. Peradventure, God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they might recover themselves of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So long, but no longer. Only when his word comes, and accompanied with his spirit, God gives them repentance, then they will be part of his church, part of his body. They will acknowledge the truth of him who said, 'He that is true, He that has the key of David, and he that openeth, and no man shutteth. It's true, we don't see much of that today, sadly. We didn't see much of it for some time before Christ came down to earth. Didn't see a lot of it through his ministry. It's true that the common people heard him gladly, and there were those who did believe. But on the day of Pentecost, there were suddenly 3,000. Right after that, there were 5,000. And then there were many later throughout the Gentile world, to the point that people said of Paul, he's turning the world upside down. That blessing did take place, and the gospel was known throughout the world. And not everybody believed, but many did. And it had its mighty and wonderful effect. The effect in this nation, the effect in England, the effect in Europe, the effect of the Reformation. The power of the gospel has been there in a much larger way than today. It is sadly true. We have not given heed to the words of warning, as in these letters to these seven churches. This church was one of the few that did not have to be called to repentance. This one and the one at Sardis. Five of them did, with warning, strong warning. But here he says of them, in verse 8 of this third chapter of Revelation, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. He set it there. He opened it. When Paul was preaching in Philippi, we read that God opened Lydia's heart so that she gave heed to all that Paul spake. Paul's own heart had to be opened. It was a hard heart. It was a wicked heart. But when the Lord Jesus stopped him, he, trembling and astonished, said, Who art thou, Lord? And the persecuting Saul became the preaching Paul. As a little child, but also as this church, thou hast a little strength. The door was open. No man can shut it. It's all in Christ's hand. Many people think, well, we have to help the Lord. We should. We should do things. But it's only working out our salvation that he has to work in us. And as he said just before he died, without me you can do nothing. A little bit later he said to the apostles, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you to go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit will remain. Remain. No man can shut it. No man can stop it. And certainly that wonderful time after the Spirit came, took the things of Christ and showed them to the people to whom they preached. It was a wonderful time. And here, evidently, at Philadelphia, there was the beginning of that church. Some of the churches we read their beginning, some of them we don't. This one we don't know how it began, but we do know that every church had its beginning by having the word preached. As Paul wrote later to the Corinthians, after the church was established, he said that by the foolishness of preaching, God saves those that believe. He also states that, How shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, all by hearing the preaching, believing it, and then each individual themselves calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. That it happened here at Philadelphia, we can be sure. That's God's way. God's way always stands. His way is a straight and narrow way, but it's a way of power, a way of truth, a way that accomplishes God's purpose. And we'll see that a little further when we think of this again. Not only did the Lord Jesus say, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, but he also said while he was here on earth, recorded in John chapter 6, verse 37, All that the Father giveth me shall come. All that is given to Christ by the Father shall come, everyone. The door will be open. They will come to Christ, and no man will stop them, all of them. In John 17, that he prayed sometime later, just before his death, he stated more than once how he spake of those that the Father gave him. In John 17, verse 2, we read, As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Then in verse 6, The men which thou gavest me out of the world, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, And then Christ refers again to others being given in the 9th verse, the 11th verse, and the 12th verse. Those different times in that prayer, referring to those that the Father gave to him, and he gives to them eternal life. That's the way of Christ. That's the way of him who has the key of David, and he openeth, and no man shutteth. And that's the one you must believe in, not a powerless Christ, not a powerful man that says, I did this and I did that, I gave my heart to the Lord, would do it without him doing something first. He's the shepherd. He's the one that must speak, and the dead will live. He's the one that sends his spirit to give, as he said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, blind to it. And worse than that, later, after he gave that wonderful message of the gospel, that God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life, he said, 19th verse of that same chapter, the 20th, men love darkness rather than light. And then even stronger in the next verse, everyone that does evil hates the light. How is one that hates the light going to come to the light? By having that hatred changed, as he did with Paul, he breathing out slaughter and threatenings. But then, who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? That had happened here at Philadelphia. That's why these people, the Lord Jesus could say of them, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. We might say, well, a little strength, and what kind of a church is it? It's the kind of church that knows itself, like Paul did. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. When he knew his weakness, he looked to Christ. And that's what we may believe these people here. Thou hast a little strength. They knew that Christ had given them what they needed. But they also knew that their strength was little. All of us have that. What do we have that we can do? Many people can say things like Peter did, though all men will deny thee, yet I will never deny thee, just before the death of Christ. And then when Christ was taken by Judas and the men, he denied him terribly. And yet Christ said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He had faith to know he sinned. He had faith to go out and weep bitterly after he had denied Christ. He learned that his faith wasn't as great as he thought it was. And we all have to learn that. We all have to learn that we have to live as Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We have to be saved by faith, believing our sins are forgiven. And we have to do by faith and sanctification, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, that he works in us and gives us faith to look to him. And that's why he is saying these things. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He is telling these people so they will believe it. And he gives them encouragement in it when he said that they had a little strength and have kept my word and hast not denied my name. What a blessing. I wonder how many of us can say that. Thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. I don't think we can say that we're only guilty if we just deny it openly and say, I don't know it. What about when we are quiet, when we should speak it? Isn't that denying his name? If somebody would say, which way should I go? And you were there and didn't say anything. And then they would go the wrong way. Didn't you deny them instruction? You wouldn't have to just say, well, go that way and tell them to go the wrong way. Saying nothing, they could go the wrong way. And I think many of us do that. I think of the many people that I should have spoken to I didn't. Now they're dead. Or not worth, they can be reached anymore. God gives us that privilege. And if we don't use what he gives us, if we don't use the talents and gain other talents, we're denying his name. Why? Are we ashamed of him? He said, if you'll be ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. I think there's many ways in which we can deny his name, that name which is above every name, that name at which every knee shall bow. By even thinking of it lightly, we're denying how great it is. It's the greatest name in all the earth. Just think of what I just said. Thou hast given him a name which is above every name. Every name, every king, every prophet, every person. None stands with Christ as true in perfection, in power, in love, the only one that died for our sin on the cross, and the only one that could say before he did, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it again. I am the good shepherd that giveth my life for the sheep. He did. It's beyond comprehension, but it is to be believed because he said it. We need it. He did it. And now he's saying to this church, thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. And then he speaks of others. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. He can do that. There's much in the world today that's mocking. And as I said in prayer, the church is much like a salt that have lost its savor. But he can revive us. He's our only hope. Look to him. Pray to him. Read his word. Believe his word. Ask him to revive us. Ask him to make us one that the world will know that the Father has sent Christ.
To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So
thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.